Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us today. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815 is the phone number. Toll free coast to coast. And our website is www.jbsba.com. And if you subscribe to my newsletter this week, the free newsletter, you still got time to get the article that's titled Business Life Forms. It's where I talk about the different kinds of business entities that you can choose in your small business. And you still got time to get that if you subscribe. And don't forget, it's free. You can do that at my website, jbsba.com. Steve Del Bianco is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's our old friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and a keeper of the techie. And we're going to get him to tell us about that in just a minute. Steve Del Bianco, welcome back.
Morning, Jim. Great to be here.
Good morning to you. I hope everything's okay.
This is a Techie Tuesday, and it's summertime here in America.
It's a techie kind of Tuesday, isn't it?
Sure is.
And as I said, folks, Steve is the keeper of the techie. Steve, tell us what the techie is.
Techie is an acronym, right, for TEQI. We pronounce it techie, but it's really the Tech Environment Quality Index, sort of like the Air Quality Index for what we think of as the tech environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the system of regulations, court cases, and laws that govern the way the tech industry tries to create jobs and create wealth and generate new technologies and services.
Right. And so you look around to see how healthy the marketplace environment is for the technology industry.
Exactly, similar to the way that other folks report consumer confidence or the air quality index. And
mm-hmm.
we took this on at the end of last year to start the index off, and then we've done it every quarter, and it's turned into a huge project. There's 65 bills and cases that we had to look at this quarter. We analyze each and every one, score it according to its probability of becoming law, and then we also rank it as to how good it is, especially for small business, because that's our focus here.
That might be surprising to a lot of people, I think, Steve, that in a single three-month period, there would be 65 legislative issues in just a single quarter that would affect small technology companies.
Well, Jim, you send all these people to Washington every year, right? They get busy over here. They get busy trying to do things that will catch their constituents' attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times you'll have several bills that basically amount to the same issue. So not all seven of them can pass. They'll eventually get reconciled. Some will drop off. We've got to analyze them all, though.
They've all got to be worked. Yeah, they've all got to be worked to find out which ones are dangerous and which are the ones that have merit and that actually might fly.
That's right. And we have a scoring system where we look at 10 things about each and every bill and court case. And again, the focus is on small business, whether they get locked out of the regulatory process, does it raise the cost of doing business, does it increase or decrease their access to new markets, too?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we find? What's the new quarters? This is a second quarter techie?
It is. It's a second quarter techie. And the good news is it's up 6% from last quarter. A surprising bump. So 3.8 points in the index. And we look at several categories in the techie for these 60 different bills. But this is a very promising increase. And it's really driven. It's fueled by the fact that the government's starting to get it about broadband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're starting to see.
Before we get into the specific issue, Steve, tell us what kind of a trend that started, because the first quarter wasn't that healthy, was it?
Well, we started by ranking all of the last 2 years, 2001 and 2002. And during the 2 years of 2001 and 2, nobody would be surprised to hear that the tech environment declined by about 10%
mm-hmm.
through a whole series of things that happened over those 2 years. Now, again, we're not looking at the tech environment as a result of market forces. We're saying,
mm-hmm.
what is the government doing to the tech environment?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew the tech market was a mess in 2000 and 2001, but it was interesting to see the government made things worse for the past 2 years.
Over 2 years. So are you saying that as of the second quarter 2003, we're within 4 points of being where we were 2.5 years ago?
Looks that way.
Wow. Wow, a lot of people didn't realize I could do that kind of math, Steve. What did we accomplish the last quarter?
I think the government, as I said, really is starting to get it about broadband. We think broadband offers so much promise, not only for rural America, but if we can increase the adoption rate of folks who have a chance to get broadband through cable or DSL or satellite, but haven't yet taken the plunge. And we think the government has taken a lot of steps, not only to give incentives for broadband investment, but also to get out of the way and to deregulate certain kinds of market-based solutions that will enable innovation and growth.
Steve, hold on to that thought. When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve what the government is doing specifically to help broadband, and if it's anything like what they did in South Korea. Right after these messages, 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, one of our top political operatives, Rich Galen of the Republican persuasion, is going to be with us to talk to us about all things political. And then after that, we're going to be talking about how to create and dominate new markets with our good friend Peter Meyer. That's coming up in the next hour. Steve Del Bianco is our guest right now. He's vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and also he is part of the outstanding, relatively new organization that he calls NetChoice. And Steve, why don't you tell us what NetChoice is?
Yeah, Jim, it's a coalition. It includes e-commerce companies and consumers that like to use e-commerce, and that includes companies like eBay and Orbitz, 1-800-CONTACTS. And the consumers like to buy from places like that. And the coalition is really about trying to break down barriers to e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And we've enjoyed a tremendous membership surge as we attended the last eBay Live event in Orlando last month, and focusing on a new issue, the Internet tax issue.
Folks, you probably take for granted the technology that you use, but I know if you're like me, I'm guilty of this. You take for granted, probably because you just don't know, that all the things that you benefit from in the world of technology that are created by small technology companies. And nobody works harder for that group of folks that benefit you and me every day than the Association for Competitive Technology, Steve Del Bianco, Jonathan Zook, all the folks over there, and the work that Steve does at NetChoice. So these are people who, in my opinion, it's worthy of your time and interest to find out what they're doing and to find out what you can do to help them help you. And that's the reason why I like to tell you about them and about their websites, so you can go there and find out about them, to join their organizations, maybe give them a little bit of money to help them on their way. They can use a little bit, I'm sure. And that's actonline.org, actonline.org is the ACT site. And then what's the NetChoice site?
Thanks, Jim. And it's www.netchoice.org.
Okay, so check those out and when you get a chance. And Steve, let's get back to the techie discussion. And you were talking about how the government is getting it, you say, with regard to incentivizing broadband development. You know, are you saying that they're starting to do what the South Koreans did? You know what the South Koreans did, don't you?
Well, I think they wired up the whole country, and they went much further. The government took a much more active role, whereas our inclination here in this country, right, is to let private markets
right
develop and make the investments necessary.
So what you're saying is that we don't want the government to wire up the country like South Korea did. We just want them to get out of our way.
Well, in this country, we sort of went in the opposite direction, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that drove the techie up was that the Federal Communications Commission told the Bells, the phone company, that when they make new investments in DSL, that's the broadband that the phone companies
mm-hmm.
do, that they won't be forced to share it
mm-hmm.
with other providers in the future. So this is deregulating the way we do DSL from the phone company, and it's actually been responsible for a surge in new investment planning
mm-hmm.
by the Baby Bell companies.
For one thing, I understood that some of the Bell companies are actually offering, they're now offering new DSL capability and at a cheaper price.
That's right, and competition is what drives that. They wouldn't be offering it cheaper, except that the cable companies are kicking their butts in certain very lucrative suburban markets.
Mm-hmm.
And by the same token, now that DSL is beginning to take off again, you're going to see the cable companies have to compete and perhaps even lower their prices. That's the magic. That's the secret sauce to making broadband adoption increase in this country, which is driving prices down, increasing the quality and ease of installation. And really, only investment and competition is going to achieve that here.
Steve, about a year and a half ago, you were on this show and you reported that there was only about 12% of American households with big pipes hooked up to their homes, DSL or cable. And you and I remember you and I lamented at how dismal that number was. But I saw a report recently, I think Kiplinger reported it on the show about 6 months ago, that within about 2 years, the research is showing that that number is going to go all the way to about in the 40% range, like in the 48%.
Yeah, we've got great news on that. I mean, the Commerce Department has recently looked at it, too. And when it goes from 12% to 18%, like many have reported it's done in the last year, that's a 50% increase in the number of people that have broadband.
That's millions and millions and millions of new users.
Jim, more and more people have to see that if they've got an ISP for whom they're spending $20 or $25 a month, and they have an extra phone line to their home because their teenager ties it up all the time, they're at $50 a month right now for dial-up access. And for that same money, you move to broadband through DSL, cable, or satellite, and the benefits of being online all the time at high speed really start to pay off.
What are the broader implications for, and no pun intended, folks, what are the broader implications for broadband adoption?
Let's start with something that works so well for so many folks, and that's the ability to work from home. Not that we want to extend our work day, but that you want to have the flexibility of being connected at the same speed you are when you're at work, of having access to all of the online information, your email, your work accounts. That's enabling us to have a more flexible work life. And in cities with crowded streets and traffic problems, that can really provide a solution by telework capabilities for American workers.
Is it going to increase the e-commerce the business is done online?
No study has been done yet that I think quantifies it, but I have to believe, watching behavior of even my wife, that when we got broadband and the computer is always on, there's no dial-up time, there's no wading your way through a whole bunch of ads just to get back to your favorite e-commerce site.
Mm-hmm.
If you're online all the time, you can monitor your auction that you're doing in eBay. Can instantly go to check in on the availability of that particular Harry Potter book from Amazon. When you're online all the time, it's so much easier to wiggle the mouse and wake the computer up than it is to dial in again.
And this is a wake-up call to all small business owners who don't have an internet presence, who don't have a website. This broadband thing that's happening is going to leave you behind. You might want to rethink your strategy. Ken Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Steve DelBianco is our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust, the Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. And folks, I certainly recommend them to you, actonline.org. And you're going to have your fly-in in September coinciding with Small Business Week, the SBA's 50th anniversary in September, aren't you, Steve?
Jim, we always try to schedule it when you're in town, because we love having you do the radio show right from our fly-in here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's going to be in the middle of the month there in September, so we'll be talking more about that. Steve, you're the techie that you brought to us today, the second quarter technology environment quality initiative?
Index, right.
Is it index? Okay. The techie is... It's not all. You've given us a lot of good news, but you and I both know that the government doesn't work for 90 days and do all good things for small business. There's got to be some bad news in this, Techie.
No, you're right, Jim. With 60 different bills, we've talked about the 7 or 8 that constitute the good news in broadband. But of the rest of the bills, there were significant downturns, and the worst area of all was e-commerce and e-business, where a patchwork of state laws on spam and privacy, that patchwork continues to grow and swell, where it threatens the ability of small businesses or large businesses to sell stuff to folks in other states. If you're putting up an ad on your site, you're posting a privacy policy, you're coming up with a policy on how to do emailing to your customers, but without even knowing it, you could run afoul of the brand new Utah law or something that's cooking out in Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm.
So a patchwork of state laws increases the costs and risks of doing business across state lines. the exact opposite that we want e-commerce to do.
Well, and it's so contraindicated, so counterintuitive for what the way the internet works, isn't it?
Exactly. And interstate commerce has got to be something that's the purview of the federal government, not the states. But the good news is that we're working hard here in Washington to get some federal preemption. That is to say, a strong national standard that'll preempt the state's efforts. So we're doing it in the area of spam and privacy and trying to do it in a way that minimizes the unintended consequences and has some chance of actually being effective at reducing the quantity of spam that's clogging the internet today.
Right. Back to the tax, though, Steve. You can't blame the states. They're already losing $20 billion or more a year in sales tax, and it's probably a bigger number than that now. That's the last number I remember. And that number, as we've said, as broadband proliferates around the country, that number is just going to go up. And so you can't blame the states for not wanting to lose that revenue, but they're just not going in the right direction, are they?
Jim, if the number were that big, and it was all attributable to the internet, then I'm all on board. But if the number's that big, only a tenth of it, at most, is attributable to internet commerce. It's less than $2 billion a year that's lost to internet commerce. The rest of what the states don't collect in their use tax is because they need to audit more the businesses that they audit on use tax, or they need to work a lot harder at getting consumers to rent it.
So that $20 billion is not actually all. I thought that was all the internet that they're.
Jim, 90% of that is business to business or B2B manufacturing shipment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, most states that have sales tax audit very aggressively on businesses. If, for instance, if your company, Small Business Advocate, was buying things over a catalog or over the internet and wasn't paying sales tax, well, there's a good chance at the end of the year when your auditor shows up, you're going to pay a use tax on it. It has nothing to do with the internet.
This is not going to be, this sales tax thing is not going to be resolved easily, is it? It's going to, and it has the potential, and this is one of the negatives, as you say, it has the potential to turn really ugly, doesn't it?
It does. And what if it polarizes and starts to pit online against offline interest?
Right.
If that starts to happen, it misses the boat. Mm-hmm. So many bricks and mortar businesses on Main Street USA have learned that by posting a website or shipping catalogs, they can expand their markets and sell to other states. So it's really not online versus offline anymore, because e-commerce is a channel. It's a channel that lots of businesses use.
Mm-hmm.
This whole battle has the potential of pitting online against offline when it really shouldn't. And it's going to come to a head later this year. The states next week are meeting in San Francisco for the National Conference of State Legislators. And it's a big celebration of the fact that they've got enough states in line on this simplification initiative that they've asked Congress to wipe aside the Supreme Court's preemption on this and give them the power to force sellers everywhere to collect taxes for every state.
We've got to stop that, folks. There's no question about that. But, Steve, that's the bad news. The good news is the techies up 6%. That makes the environment more healthy for small business technology companies. And I really appreciate you and your organization putting this information together and giving us a heads up on everything.
Jim, thanks for all you do for small business.
Well, I appreciate it. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association for Competitive Technology. Also, the other organization, Steve, is
NetChoice.
That's right. There it is. NetChoice.org and ActOnline.org. Check those out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.